number 4, Messiah the Light, Isaiah 8 and 9, by Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract. Here we discuss the closing verses of Isaiah 8 and the opening verses of Isaiah 9, in which the Messiah is pictured as light to the nation Israel. And we briefly mention Isaiah 49, where he is a light to the nations. We see here something of how this was fulfilled in Jesus. Messiah. For many centuries, the people Israel looked for the coming of a Messiah, one who was appointed by God to rescue them from their enemies and straighten out the world situation. Here we want to look at how the Bible pictures this Messiah's light, not only to Israel, but also to the nations. Looking at the context of Isaiah 8 and 9, see the whole chapter, Isaiah 8, especially verses 9 through 15. The long-continued unfaithfulness of the nation Israel is about to lead to its being conquered, first by Assyria in 722 BC, and then by Babylon in 587 BC. Here's the passage, Isaiah 8, 16 through 22, NIV. Bind up the testimony, and seal up the law among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will put my trust in him. Here am I, and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty, who dwells on Mount Zion. When men tell you to consult mediums and spirits, as spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upward will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Here we see a picture of the reaction of the righteous first, and then the reaction of the wicked. The reaction of the righteous in verses 16 through 18. Don't forget God's word, says Isaiah. It will all happen just as he said in verse 16. So wait for the Lord with patience and trust. Verse 17. You will see his program being worked out even in the midst of disaster. Verse 18. Isaiah speaks of himself and his children as signs. He gave special names to his children. Maher Shal Hashbaz to one, which means roughly sudden disaster. And Shahar Yashub to another, which means a remnant will return. So the names of the two kids basically said a sudden disaster is coming, but a remnant will survive and return from captivity. In verses 19 through 22, we see the reaction of the wicked. They're looking for any way but God's way to escape disaster, and so they have turned to the occult, as this has often happened in history, verses 19 through 20. When disaster does overtake them, they curse God, verse 21. But there is no escape. They are driven away into darkness, verse 22. That carries us then into Isaiah chapter 9, and we cite here verses 1 through 7, again in the NIV. Reads this way, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and with righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So, God's promised Messiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. We're told there'll be no more gloom for Israel, especially Zebulun and Naphtali. in this map here of the tribes of Israel, that's just the northern section of it, we see Zebulun-Ner circled in this red oval, and Naphtali over here in this green oval. The promise starts to be fulfilled in Galilee, which encompasses all this area, see the blue oval, where the first disasters came. This, by the way, is just where Jesus ministered, where his primary ministry took place. We're told in verses 2 through 5 that this Messiah will be a light for the people. They multiply, have joy, in verse 2. They are delivered from oppression and war, verses 4 and 5. In verses 9a, the Messiah as a child is pictured, unto us a child is born. That should be 6a. And Messiah as God, in 6b, he is given divine titles, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And in verse 7, we see that he is the Eternal King. There will be no end of his rule. It will last forever. Elsewhere in Isaiah, we see that God's servant will be a light to other nations too. Isaiah 49:5 and following. And now the Lord says, He who formed me in the womb will be a servant to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. There, a rather powerful picture. And by the way, this seems to have been fulfilled in Jesus, who claimed to be the Messiah, and who has started a world religion of Gentiles, currently the largest religion in the world. Conclusions. We are tempted to follow the world because of its promises for great things here and now. But the world gives us no support in disaster, and the world tends to wander into the occult when things go wrong. The one who trusts in God is helped in disaster to develop patience and more trust, learning to see God's provision and to see God's predictions fulfilled. A bad world situation will one day be straightened up when Jesus the Messiah returns to rule. And already in individuals and groups, we see a bad world situation that is substantially improved as a result of knowing Jesus. Meanwhile, we have an opportunity to serve as God's secret agents here and now, just as Isaiah and his children did many centuries ago. Jesus is indeed the light of the world. Well, that's the end of our talk here, and I pray that you may turn to Jesus the Messiah as the light of the world. Thank you for your listening to this talk.